It is September 1st, 2011. Thank you for joining us for the maiden voyage of InfoWars Nightly News. We're going to be here Monday through Friday for at least 30 minutes every night covering the most important news and information at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Coming up this evening, we're going to examine the evidence. Is America completely dominated, controlled, and conquered by the offshore criminal banksters? Ron Paul will be joining us to comment. Then we'll talk to journalist Webster Griffin Tarpley, who recently traveled back from Libya while it was under bombardment. He'll give us his take on the unfolding humanitarian disaster there now and the fact that Gaddafi has pledged that he will not surrender. Then the embattled CEO of American icon Gibson Guitars, who's been raided now by two different federal SWAT team raids for simply manufacturing here inside the United States, will join us. But first, let's get to some of the other important headlines and analysis. Yesterday, InfoWars.com reported on, and it was picked up by the Drudge Report and other national news institutions, that a man in Illinois, who has no criminal record and 41 years of age, mechanic Michael Allison, who filmed police in public, was charged. The police and prosecutors are seeking life in prison, or at least 75 years. It's interesting to note that on the same day, the 31st of August, Federal Appeals Court, the level right below the Supreme Court, the First Circuit Court of the United States, ruled that of course you can film the police in public and it's not wiretapping. There is no perception of privacy for police, citizens, movie stars, or anybody else. And the fact that we now have 12 separate states that are prosecuting people for filming police at city council meetings, on the streets, you name it, is very frightening, because the police and prosecutors know this is not illegal and are seeking to push a chilling effect against the First Amendment and the right of the citizens to have a fair witness via the camera and audio tape. Remember, dozens and dozens of state and federal courts have already thrown this out before. Still, the police are arresting people knowing that it's false imprisonment and a fraud. This indeed is a serious signpost and marker showing us that we are deep inside the police state. But there is some hope, because the courts are universally ruling against this, but only at the appeal level. Local courts are fully endorsing it and throwing the book at citizens. We'll look at this in more depth later with Webster Tarpley, historian and economist who's recently been in Libya under bombardment. But first, let's get a little bit into Muammar Gaddafi. He has vowed, in new audio tapes released and played via Syria, broadcast from Syria, that he will never surrender. And as Colonel Anthony Schaefer of U.S. Army Special Forces predicted, as Webster Tarpley and as myself and others predicted, as Ron Paul predicted, Libya is now descending into a giant tribal civil war. Our media, the dinosaur media, claimed that this was all being done to avert a humanitarian disaster, when in truth, the West funded and financed the rebels from the beginning and used it as a pretext to invade the country. Suddenly, CNN saying, hey, looks like the war isn't over yet. Not quite yet. And they're replacing Gaddafi with al-Qaeda if they are successful. Now, every few days, the rebels claim they have Gaddafi cornered, or that he's already been killed, or that all his sons have been killed. We've been lied to over and over again. But now they're saying that they're giving him one more week to surrender, or that they will have them. Finally, Reuters is reporting that they believe the ousted Libyan leader, Muammar Gaddafi, is believed to be in the desert town of Bani Walid, about 150 miles southeast of Tripoli, a top commander of Libya's National Transitional Council said today. Continuing with the news, we saw hundreds of billions of dollars of stimulus money pumped into Democratic donors' coffers. And in almost every one of these make-work projects, especially with green jobs, the money just disappeared. We've gotten a new example of that today. White House-backed solar energy company collapses after getting $500 million of taxpayer money. And, of course, there's not going to be an investigation for where all of that money has gone. Continuing to look at the federal power grab via the executive that is taking place, Jay Carney, the White House press secretary, today, in a speech, said, well, the president will move ahead with a bunch of different policies outside of Congress if Congress doesn't basically do what the president wants. And what's so scary about this is we now have a super Congress that is originating spending bills. That's never happened in our 230-plus year history. And the president has veto power over that. We also have Obama launching wars and telling Congress he doesn't need their authority. We have Obama shutting down selective power plants, telling Congress he doesn't need laws. The ATF announcing new gun regulations outside of law. We are clearly seeing the executive more and more turn into a dictatorial position. Now, I'm not saying Obama himself is a dictator. He's a puppet, a teleprompter reader who's fed the scripts by the social engineers and the special interests. That's on record. He won't even speak to a group of school kids without a teleprompter. Most media in this country is off a script or with a teleprompter. When I talk about the presidency being turned into a dictatorial position, I'm talking about the executive branch that is basically in control of the giant unelected bureaucracy. And an example of that is Democrats distancing themselves from Obama, this out of the National Journal. People think this is a victory. They're just going to put a new puppet in, and when the public wakes up to that puppet, they'll put another puppet in. I should add here, well, that document cam up over there, we do not have a teleprompter. Local news in the smallest town has it. Most talk radio goes off a script. The only televisions that we have in here are so that I can see the guest that I'm talking to and the video clips that we're playing so I can comment on it. This is the only teleprompter-free news that we know of in the United States and most of the world. So you're going to hear me make mistakes. You're going to hear me sometimes stumble on a word. You're going to hear me pause while they're playing a news package because it's real. Why are teleprompters so dangerous? It allows talking points to be written by centralized committees, by special interest and others, and then to be fed out. Have you ever noticed that if you watch ABC, CBS, NBC, it is the same news in the same order, even in many cases the same sponsors? That's because all of those stations run their news out of the CBS Broadcast Center in Manhattan. So I'm here showing you what's behind the curtain, ladies and gentlemen, and bringing you real news, real analysis, and it's up to you to research this information and to make your own decision. Now, continuing with really freaky and creepy news, FEMA's use of term federal family for government expands under Obama. They started this term a few years ago, but now in thousands of government documents, the Palm Beach Post reports, they're telling feds, you're in a family, and it's basically the feds against the rest of us. No kidding. We'll be talking about that with the CEO of Gibson, who was raided later. Continuing with a final piece of news, gasoline closed to a record high before the Labor Day weekend. What's the main cause of that? Gold hasn't gone up in price. Silver hasn't really gone up in price. Oil and food hasn't gone up in price. What's gone up in price is all the commodities because the dollar has been devalued. You devalue currencies, you become like Argentina, Zimbabwe, Weimar Republic, Germany, where it takes a wheelbarrow of money at the end to buy a loaf of bread. Next, I want to get to a compilation of video clips from the last few years where we see Alan Greenspan on Lehr NewsHour say Congress has no authority over the private Federal Reserve who controls our currency and our credit. Remember, in the Constitution, the Congress is supposed to control that. Now the president's taken the power of war-making away. It's all part of the centralization that Hitler, Stalin, Mao, Julius Caesar 2,000-plus years ago engaged in. Next, we get to another Alan Greenspan clip from a few weeks ago where he told the show Meet the Prestitutes, Meet the Press, that the Fed isn't worried about defaulting on T-bills that people have bought because they'll just print money. And they've got Austin Goolsbee, the skull and bones are on there, who works for Obama, kind of freaks out that he would say this publicly because that's another form of default to hyperinflate the currency, and it destroys people on fixed incomes and destroys savings. Then we're going to go to a clip of Bernanke arguing with Ron Paul in the banking committee saying gold is not money. And then we expand from there where Congress is asking Bernanke, where is the money? Where are the hundreds of billions and trillions? And he says, no, I won't tell you. So gold isn't money, and they won't tell you where all the taxpayer-backed up fiat debt notes have gone. And then finally, we're going to play a clip of the former Treasury Secretary. They're all working as a team, the last two administrations. Henry Paulson being asked where all these hundreds of millions of dollars went that he gave himself. How do you give yourself, the former head of Goldman Sachs, this money? He can barely talk. He's all breaking up, but somebody's asking him a real question. And he goes on to basically say he gave himself a waiver through the White House. So here is this incredible compilation. And I ask you the question, will America allow itself to be fully bankrupt and dominated and conquered by these criminal banksters?
What is the proper relationship? What should be the proper relationship between a chairman of the Fed and a president of the United States?
Well, first of all, the Federal Reserve is an independent agency, and that means basically that there is no other agency of government which can overrule actions that we take. So long as that is in place and there is no evidence that the administration or the Congress or anybody else is requesting that we do things other than what we think is the appropriate thing, then what the relationships are don't frankly matter. And I've had very good relationships with the President.
Are U.S. Treasury bonds still safe to invest in?
Very much so. I think there's a... This is not an issue of credit rating. The United States can pay any debt it has because we can always print money to do that. So there is zero probability of default.
The reason the Federal Reserve was founded a century ago was to try to address the problems arising from financial panics, which did, by the way, occur in an unregulated environment in the 19th century. We provided liquidity and short-term loans to help financial system stabilize. We did that not because we particularly care about the managers.
You say it's not spending money. Well, it's money out of thin air. You put it into the market and you hold assets, and the assets aren't, you know, they are diminishing in value. When you wake up in the morning, do you care about the price of gold?
Well, I pay attention to the price of gold, but I think it reflects a lot of things. It reflects global uncertainties. I think the reason people hold gold is as a protection against what we call tail risk, really, really bad outcomes. And to the extent that the last few years have made people more worried about the potential of a major crisis, then they have gold as a protection.
Do you think gold is money?
No.
It's not money. Money for 6,000 years, somebody reverse that and eliminate that economic law?
Well, it's an asset. I mean, it's the same. Would you say treasury bills are money? I don't think they're money either, but they're financial assets.
Why do central banks hold it?
Well, it's a form of reserves.
Why don't they hold diamonds?
Well, it's tradition, long-term tradition.
So my question to you is, will you tell the American people to whom you lent $2.2 trillion of their dollars? Will you tell us who got that money and what the terms are of those agreements?
We explain each of our programs. In terms of the terms, we explain the terms exactly. We explain what the collateral requirements are. We explain what
to whom did you explain that?
It's on our website.
Yeah, okay.
So all that information is available in our commercial paper program.
And who got the money?
Hundreds and hundreds of banks. Any bank or that has access to the U.S. Federal Reserve's discount.
Tell us who they are.
No, because the reason that is counterproductive and will destroy the value of the program is that banks will not come to the
decision. Isn't that too bad?
I left Goldman Sachs. I sold my shares in Goldman Sachs.
Deferred, too. You didn't have any tax on your $200 million.
I sold my shares in Goldman Sachs.
With the clause that if you come into the administration, you sell your assets, it's tax deferred. You don't have to pay 200. If you had $200 million profit, and you didn't have to pay any tax. Isn't that true?
Listen, it's
is that true or not? Yes or no?
It is. You do not pay a profit when someone a tax when someone
maybe
makes you sell assets.
Maybe that was incentive for you to become Secretary of Treasury, so you didn't have to pay the tax there.
Oh. The next thing I would say to you, and say it very, very clearly, is I behaved with the...
Think you should have recused yourself when you asked Lehman to go into bankruptcy, you didn't put Bear Stearns in bankruptcy, and then you folded Merrill Lynch into... I mean, isn't there some point where you got to say, hey, I got a conflict of interest here? You don't feel any kind of scintilla of ethics on this thing at all?
Totally. I operated very consistently within the ethic guidelines I had as Secretary of the Treasury, and when it became clear that we had some very significant issues with Goldman Sachs and with Morgan Stanley, what I did then, it would have been very wrong for me to recuse myself. What I did was I went and got a waiver from the ethics agreement because when we had concerns...
Who was in charge of the ethics agreement?
What?
Who's in charge of the ethics agreement that you got a waiver?
We have a office of ethics at Treasury, and we have a White House ethics office.
I mean, there's no end to it. And we're called the conspiracy theorists because we read the Constitution and watch C-SPAN and know what these guys are up to. I'm not going to tell you where the trillions are. Gold isn't money, but our debt derivatives garbage is. The Federal Reserve is above the law, and we'll just print money and bankrupt everybody but ourselves. Ha, ha, ha. It's incredible what these Ponzi scheme operators have done. So these criminals think that they are above the law. Now I want to go to some clips from yesterday on my syndicated radio broadcast when I talked to presidential candidate Congressman Ron Paul. There's three different issues we cover. Federal Reserve is liquidating its debt. It has to do it by default, or they have to do it by basically hyperinflating the currency. And Ron Paul points out, no, you write off the fraudulent derivatives that the American people don't owe. You make Wall Street take the haircut instead of saddling us with that debt. Next, I asked Congressman Ron Paul about Rick Perry, this former Al Gore chief of staff, former Hillary Care supporter in the mid-90s, and Congressman Ron Paul responds to that. And finally, I talked to Ron Paul about his statement last year about the fact that the CIA has had a coup over the United States. Here's the congressman's comments.
Once a country gets this indebted, they never pay their bills. They can't work their way out. Theoretically, we could, you know, if we did all the things necessary, but in reality, countries don't. And especially if you end up over 40% of the money you need to operate, if you have to borrow it, it's at a point almost of no return. So they have to liquidate the debt. First, they won't admit we're in bankruptcy. Because they've been able to pawn it off on the American taxpayers by raising taxes and inflating the currency and borrowing around the world. But we literally are bankrupt. So the debt has to be liquidated. And it is true, we won't default on the debt in the sense that they won't pay off the holders of bonds. They'll always be paid off, just like the holders of the obligations for Social Security will always send a check. But what they don't have control on is the value of that money they sent. Matter of fact, it is a deliberate policy of the Fed, and Bernanke has essentially admitted this, that the only way we can get out of this is inflation.
He's trying to become you, so what do you say to that?
Well, I think that people have to realize and look at his record, and when they look at his record, they know that he's a flip-flopper. I mean, how can what he say be much different than what Romney has done with his medical care system up in Massachusetts, and you're right, Barry has endorsed Hillary's program. So, but the American people, you know, I guess one reason why it seems so obvious to me, why does anybody even have to lecture people? Why don't they just wake up and look at history and investigate a little bit?
There's been a coup. Have you heard? It's the CIA coup. The CIA runs everything. They run the military.
we've had a coup in America. I want you to specifically, because I get a lot of questions about that to this day, what you exactly meant by that.
The CIA is involved in war. They are involved in military activity. They pick targets from Langley in Virginia. They can shoot missiles to any spot in the world, generally killing a lot of people they shouldn't be killing and missing the ones they're trying to target. So therefore, it is totally secret. This is even out of, you know, out of the realm of what Obama does when he says, well, I'm going in and I'm just going to be with NATO and I'm going to start bombing Libya. I think this is very serious. And now we have the DOD person, Petraeus, going over the CIA, and then the CIA head going over to the military. It's such a mixed deal that we don't know exactly what's happening, but I know the CIA has been involved in so many elections around the world. They pick and choose dictators.
You don't need me to tell you that humanity is in a deep crisis. Everyone can feel it. We know a tectonic struggle is now taking place between the forces of freedom and those who love darkness, bondage, and enslavement. Yes, my friends, evil is rising. But take heart, for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Recently, New World Order operative Hillary Clinton admitted they're losing the info war.
We are in an information war, and we are losing that war.
The globalists are scared. They've overreached. The future of the info war is in your hands. Join PrisonPlanet.tv. Download the thousands of special video reports, ebooks, and more, and get them out to everyone you know. Continue to spread the word about the broadcast on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and every other globalist propaganda platform. We are going to use their system against them. The info war now goes into high gear.
I'm Alex Jones, and you're watching InfoWars Nightly News on our maiden voyage, our kickoff, our inaugural transmission. Well, we're joined by Webster Griffin Tarpley. He's a doctor of history. He's also an economist, and he's a big part of our film, The Obama Deception, and also Fall of the Republic. And unfortunately, the predictions he made in the last 4 or 5 years on the economy have come true as if they were prophecy. So in the second half of our interview, we're going to be discussing the world depression we're in and will the banking crisis contagion in Europe spread to the United States. But first, I want to talk to Dr. Tarpley about his trip to Libya a couple months ago. When this whole bombardment began, he traveled there and was in the middle of it. And he predicted that if they did basically become successful in getting the rebels in and taking Tripoli, that a giant civil war would ensue. And he was the first to document, now the Washington Post admits it's true, that the Al-Qaeda forces in the East that are NATO and U.S. backed were indeed targeting blacks and killing black Libyans. On top of that, Gaddafi is still at large and has said that he vows to fight on, and CNN was forced to report. Analysis, battle for Libya, not quite over. Gaddafi endgame, rebels extend surrender deadline by 1 week. He's always going to surrender in a week. So with more on this is Webster Griffin Tarpley, who's actually been to Libya under the bombardment. Webster, thank you for joining us.
Hello, Alex. Congratulations on your new program. More power to you.
Well, we're doing everything we can to try to get the truth out to people. Webster, you've been to Libya. Break down what happened and where we're going now, because I'm seeing the Western leaders calling themselves friends of Libya. They claim they did this to stop a humanitarian disaster, but by all accounts, the humanitarian disaster has been caused by NATO's backing of Al-Qaeda.
Well, of course, we've got a situation where NATO bombing continues. And if NATO is bombing, it means that there's resistance, because NATO bombs where people are fighting back. And this is particularly the city of Sirte. It's the best part of 100,000 people on the coast of the Mediterranean. It has now been surrounded by Al-Qaeda rebel forces. They're not letting anybody out, and NATO is bombing it to hell, basically. And the rebels were boasting that they were going to go into Sirte and mop up this coming weekend, but now they say they need another week. What it means is that these cowardly Al-Qaeda people don't want to have a pitched battle. They want another week of NATO bombing. One of the big stories is how many rebels have been killed. They have had very, very heavy losses, and their ability to carry on at the current level is certainly not automatic. But I think what we ought to focus on is genocide in Sirte. It is a huge international humanitarian emergency. Basically, if you're in Sirte and you're not willing to kowtow to Al-Qaeda and put down your gun, and most of the people do have guns, you're going to be bombed by NATO. And, of course, once those rebels get in there, there's going to be a bloodbath. People remember Guernica in the Spanish Civil War, bombed by the Nazis, Nanjing, a huge genocide of half a million or a million people in front of the eyes of the world back in the 1930s. This is getting into that kind of a league. It's genocide, and it has to stop. And, of course, Obama is supporting it. The U.S. is hand in glove. Not just the French, not just the British, not just NATO, but this is now U.S.-inflicted genocide on an African country.
And to be clear, Libya had the highest per capita income, was financing the development of Africa, something the eugenicists and the social Malthusians, the carbon taxers, don't want. But you were there a few months ago, and you were the first. Now it's in L.A. Times, Washington Post. Yes, the Al-Qaeda rebels are Al-Qaeda. The leader of Tripoli is an admitted jihadi Al-Qaedist who's attacked U.S. troops in Iraq. You were there. I mean, you were the first to report on this. And now it's confirmed. Giant piles of dead black Libyans, they're just dragging blacks out of their houses, even though they're a large part of the population. This is incredible. And all of this sold in the name of a humanitarian action, when it now turns out the rebels from the beginning were Western intelligence-backed and launched an attempted overthrow of the Libyan government. I mean, this is just too rich. Why would Western governments engage in something so reckless and so transparent?
Well, partly out of desperation. They don't have the infantry to do what they want to do in Libya. So they're using Al-Qaeda as the NATO infantry and providing NATO air cover, carpet bombing, Apache helicopters strafing civilians with machine guns. All of this, as you say, under the aegis of a UN resolution, which is supposed to be about the responsibility to protect civilians. But the big scandal is the one you pointed to. The new military commander of the city of Tripoli, 2 million people, it's the size of what? Denver, Atlanta, something like this. 2 million people, and this is Belhaj, except he operates under multiple aliases. Sometimes he's Belhaj, sometimes he's Hasidi. Sometimes he's Hassadi. He is an Al-Qaeda international terrorist, a notorious butcher. He has left a trail of corpses across half of the world. He is a former United States prisoner of war captured in Pakistan in connection with his activities, which were to kill American soldiers. This is someone who has killed U.S. troops. He has organized other jihadis, other crazies, from this Benghazi, Darna, Tobruk area of Libya, the backward part, to go into Iraq and Afghanistan and to kill U.S. forces. And he is now flaunted by these rebels as their military commander of Tripoli. He now has life or death power over 2 million people. And today we have a statement from the French president, Nicolas Sarkozy, at the Élysée Palace, puts out a statement responding to the outrage in the world about this, saying, "Oh, Belhaj, he's a great guy. My military aide spoke to Belhaj, and they've certified to Sarkozy that this is a wonderful guy. He's democratic. He's going to bring good administration to the city of Tripoli." It's absolutely unbelievable. And this person, when it was known in the springtime, in March and April, that this guy Belhaj Hasidi Hassadi was commanding the city of Derna, this was already a scandal that got into the Italian press, the Wall Street Journal, the London Daily Telegraph.
Well, let me stop you there, Webster, because I'm not just here saying, oh, you're so great, oh, you're so good. I've been interviewing you since before this started 6 months ago, before the UN resolution almost 5 months ago, when they said war is peace and bombing and backing rebels and arming them and special forces from the West on the ground is not war. And you specifically said if they are able to take major cities, there is going to be a civil war. The jihadis are going to come in. They're going to put in basically the Sharia law. That's now been announced.
Right.
And we're told we're giving our rights up in America to fight Al-Qaeda. And now this civil war is on. The rebels, quote, won't take the Qaddafi strongholds. without more air raids. Millions of firearms have been handed out and grenade launchers. You witnessed it. So since you predicted everything that's now transpired with uncanny accuracy, what comes next then? Gaddafi's not giving up. Now he's a martyr either way. The fighting is going to continue. Is that mission accomplished for the West to just destabilize it and wreck Libya so that it can't engage in development for the rest of Africa?
That may be mission accomplished maybe for the British and maybe for the U.S., but for the French, maybe for the Italians and some others, they're interested in looting. Actually, today, the British Foreign Secretary Haig said Britain is not going to be left behind when it comes to looting Libya. They're going to try to muscle themselves in there and grab some of those.
That was on the news. It was like pigs in a trough fighting over the oil, the water, the airstrips, the goodies.
Right. It's a gang of thieves. This is a war of looting. It's medieval. It's like the sacking of a city. But it won't work. There's going to be a very long civil war. This is an absolute tragedy. This was the most advanced country in Africa in terms of longevity, healthcare, education. The United Nations Human Development Index put them as at the top.
And you predicted the civil war. So what comes next?
Well, then civil war. And civil war means you can see Gaddafi forces retreating to the southern parts of the country. There is this huge desert, but in the desert there are also mountains. I would point you to the province of Fezzan, southwest Libya. This is where the black Libyans are. These are Libyans and Muslims, but they're black.
And there's massive mid-Saharan and southern African sympathy for Gaddafi. He's going to get rebel support. I mean, this is a disaster.
Even Algeria. Algeria is an interesting story because Algeria has had their fill of these al-Qaeda crazies. There was a group called the GIA, the Groupe Islamique Armé, the Armed Islamic Group, which they went on a murder spree in Algeria. They killed hundreds of thousands of people in the mid-90s under U.S. and British sponsorship. So Algeria is not interested in these color revolutions. They don't want to hear about democracy. They want stability. They want civilization. And these are the people that have now taken in Gaddafi's wife, two of his sons, some of his grandchildren. So there's obviously a kind of sympathy there. Algeria has refused to go along with the French orchestrated anti-Libyan campaign. So get set for a long war and get set for more and more horrendous news coming out of here. But there are these defiant rallying figures, Gaddafi himself, his son Saif, Musa Ibrahim, the information minister, and others. They're reported to have retreated through Bin Walid, which is maybe 50 miles or 100 miles south of Tripoli, but there's another 1,000 miles of desert down there easily. It is, after all, the second largest country in Africa after Sudan in terms of the geography. So a long war. NATO would like to shift their assets into the eastern Mediterranean and gear up the attack on Syria, but it's not clear they'll be able to do that. Gaddafi has been in a blocking position this whole time. He's prevented the destabilization campaign from going on to new countries. He's essentially protected a lot of places.
So he's holding up the CIA-funded Arab Spring.
Right, exactly. And now, of course, it's almost autumn. So we're going to have the Arab winter pretty soon, and it's going to be ugly.
What we're seeing is the Al-Qaeda spring, and you're now anti-American, Webster. You don't support Al-Qaeda.
I'm sorry. I can't endorse Belhaj. And remember, those guys are the ones who now control the Libyan embassy here in Washington, D.C., on Virginia Avenue. Over there by the Kennedy Center, don't go to any concerts at the Kennedy Center. Don't go across the key bridge here. Don't go to the Watergate building, because you're going to find a lot of terrorists in that neighborhood of D.C.
Well, more anti-American activity, not supporting Al-Qaeda, Webster. That's just, you're not supporting Al-Qaeda, and I think that stands on its own. You're very, very anti-globalist. In closing, Webster, and we're running out of time, the economy. I mean, we know that the recession never ended. We're really in a depressionary situation. What's happening in Europe? What's happening with the dollar? All these announcements about we won't default, we'll just print more money. Where is it all headed in a nutshell?
Well, obviously, the bailouts don't work, and the attempt to bail out Greece is now falling apart again. The second Greek bailout is now falling apart. Greece obviously needs a debt moratorium. They should simply say they can't pay and they won't pay. Behind that, of course, is the imminent European banking crisis. You could see this coming during the summer. as the contagion was deliberately spread to Italy through repeated attacks using credit default swaps. The speculators decided to smash Italy. They've gone pretty far down that road. Spain, Italy, and then after them comes France, Belgium, and even certain German federal states are thought
to be. So the globalists loot other countries with the military, third world and old world. They loot us with banker occupation.
Right. Now, there is a couple of positive things. Europe, I think, will make an effort to tax derivatives. The French government, the German government have agreed that they're going to make a big push in September for a Eurotobin, which simply means a tax on derivatives. It's very small, much smaller than what I wanted, but they are doing it. So they are fighting to some degree. Now, the debate we're having here about a recovery program, obviously, Obama is going to come with some collection of these small bore, silly little things that don't make up any difference. But I have a proposal. Let's make Bernanke announce with a tender offer, say, Bernanke is going to come forward and say, I will buy $1 trillion worth of bonds from American states and let those American states, 50 of them, start building highways, railroad systems, water systems, canals, let them update their electricity grid. In other words, public works and infrastructure, they can issue the bonds, 0% 50-year bonds, and sell those to the Federal Reserve. Federal Reserve can buy anything. They can buy unsecured commercial paper.
But they don't want to build infrastructure. They want to implode the economy to continue to consolidate it. But at some point, the black hole of fraud they've created is going to destroy any markets they had a chance at ever being involved in. These are clearly avarice-filled madmen. Webster, we've got to leave it there. Tarpley.net. I'm Alex Jones with InfoWars.com. We'll be right back on the other side of this quick break. Please stay with us.
You don't need me to tell you that humanity is in a deep crisis. Everyone can feel it. We know a tectonic struggle is now taking place between the forces of freedom and those who love darkness, bondage, and enslavement. Yes, my friends, evil is rising. But take heart. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Recently, New World Order operative Hillary Clinton admitted they're losing the info war.
We are in an information war, and we are losing that war.
The globalists are scared. They've overreached. The future of the info war is in your hands. Join PrisonPlanet.tv. Download the thousands of special video reports, ebooks, and more, and get them out to everyone you know. Continue to spread the word about the broadcast on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and every other globalist propaganda platform. We are going to use their system against them. The info war now goes into high gear.
Thank you for being here on the inaugural kickoff of InfoWars Nightly News, Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Now, we're going to go to our reporter, Darren McBreen, who's been in downtown Austin talking to locals and getting their view on the federal raid on Gibson Guitars. Then after the report, we're going to go to the CEO of Gibson Guitar with some incredible information. We go now to Darren McBreen on the street here in Austin, Texas. Darren, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you, Alex. I'm Darren McBreen for InfoWars Nightly News. The Green Police have struck again. First, it was the Amish selling eggs, and then it was children's lemonade stands, followed by SWAT-teaming people for selling tomatoes. And now, it's Gibson Guitar, one of the few iconic American companies we've got left exporting goods to the world. Now, we're about to show you a TV commercial that started airing during the Super Bowl. What appears to be lighthearted by most viewers is actually a very serious sign of dark times ahead.
Okay, so it's 3708, okay. Paper or plastic?
Plastic.
That's the magic word, what? Green Police. You picked the wrong day to mess with the ecosystem, plastic boy.
Green Police.
Battery!
Battery.
Let's go, take the house, come on!
Put the rind down!
Sir!
That's a compost infraction!
Whoa! Did you install these bulbs?
Yeah. Tragedy strikes tonight where a man has just been arrested for possession of an incandescent light bulb.
What do you guys think about plastic bottles now?
The water setting is at 105.
Yeah.
that TDI here?
Clean diesel.
You're good to go, sir.
Good afternoon, officers. Are those foam cuffs you're drinking from?
Yeah.
Can we please step out of the car and put them on the hood?
Here in downtown Austin near 6th Street, music is played live every night of the week. Musicians are known to routinely travel far and wide to get here, but with new federal regulations, it might not be that easy. If you're trying to fly to Canada, for example, and you have a guitar that's 50 years old, they could stop you from traveling, they could take your guitar, and you can even be fined.
That sounds like pretty typical of the trend of loosely worded and selectively enforced laws that's been happening for a while. You see them popping up more and more. That doesn't shock me.
Just another crackdown. Just when's it going to stop? You know, it's like, what else are they going to take?
They're raiding people for the wood, old wood. I mean, if this precedent goes through, where does it stop?
If it's from another country, it's been exported, then there's going to be these laws that say that if I try to leave the country with my baby, that they're going to take it from me or fine me. That's not fair, man.
You know, I'm not even a musician, but, you know, in being in that community, that just makes me feel totally violated and vulnerable.
It kind of reminds me of the way, like, Monsanto tries to restrict home gardens and say they're organic farms.
By doing that, they're trying to take more of our civil liberties, and they're just basically trying to strip all our rights and show us their cards.
It doesn't seem to be a due process sort of situation in the slightest, and it seems to be much more far-reaching.
If you get on a plane and you want to travel out the country, there's a chance that if you have a guitar with you, let's say it's an older guitar, that you could be restricted. You could be fined, or they could even take your guitar from you. What do you think about that?
I say Big Brother's wreaking havoc on the free world every step of the way.
Well, it looks like due process under the law and being innocent before being proven guilty are two concepts that are apparently no longer applicable in the United States, at least as far as the federal government is concerned. I'm Darren McBreen for InfoWars Nightly News. Back to you, Alex.
Thank you, Darren, for that report from the Gibson Showroom in Austin, Texas. Well, I'm joined by the CEO since 1986 of Gibson Guitars. We're going to be talking to him in a moment. But first, look at this American-made beauty here, right here in front of me. And the feds are now saying it doesn't matter if your guitar is 50 years old or if it's another company, not just Gibson, that they may actually raid musicians. They may confiscate them when you try to leave the country. It's just incredible. And they're saying next could be old furniture or the wood on firearms. Again, Henry Juskowitz has been the CEO since 1986, and he's been shocked by what happened to him, but also heartened when I was talking to him earlier before we got him on air about the outpouring of support for this American-made icon. Henry, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me here.
First off, just give viewers out there the basics of what's happened with this SWAT team raid.
Well, last Wednesday, we had, well over a couple of dozen armed agents with weapons and, in some cases, bulletproof vests and SWAT attire come into our facilities, evacuate the facilities, shut down the factories, hustle our people out on the streets and in the parking lots, pour through the factories and grab pallet loads of raw material, wood, grab paperwork, grab computer hard drives, image computer hard drives, and generally shut the business down and indicate that we could not build any guitars or touch any guitars that had Indian, rosewood, or ebony, and every guitar we touched would be considered a federal crime.
Wow. Now, you are a non-union shop, correct?
Yes.
And you, from what I've read, your operation's mainly a Republican group of donors, and your big competitors, I was reading in the news, they are big Obama supporters, and you are the only company that's been raided so far. This is the second time in the last couple years. Do you think there's something political going on here?
Well, the fact that we're doing the same thing other people are doing, and only we are being targeted, leads me to believe that there are some ulterior, possibly political motives. The second thing is, it's an extraordinarily violent response. Coming in with weapons, shutting our business down, interrogating our employees. It's sort of over the top. And again, indicates to me that there's some kind of ulterior political motive there.
Give us the details of the raid. You said it was a SWAT-like. When I interviewed you on the radio, you talked about them taking employees into private areas and surrounding them, even the people that are sweeping the floors.
Yes, in the first raid, that's exactly what they did. When I arrived in the factory, they had one or two people that I specifically saw, and they had they were sitting there confused, armed guys all around them, and I quickly made them let them go. They didn't have any rights read to them. They didn't didn't have any attorneys there. Didn't know what was going on, and we got our attorneys on the scene very quickly. But it was really, bullying tactics. These were arrogant people who just didn't care about, anyone there.
Are you thinking about any type of response to this legally?
We are. We are looking at several options, and we hope by the end of this week to actually have filed some litigation.
Now, at first they wouldn't tell you why they were there. Very Kafkaesque. You don't know what crime you're being accused of. You can't face your accusers. But I was reading in the paper that now you've learned more. It's the Lacey Act, and correct me if I'm wrong, and that states that American companies are under the foreign laws of any country that they import wood from, and that you're in trouble for working the wood, that this wood was not endangered, it was all ordered properly. They admit that, but it was the working of the wood that American workers can't improve on something?
Specifically, India has a law that you cannot buy wood raw. That you have to perform value added in India. And in other words, labor has to be done in India. And that's the law they're citing and using against us, if you will.
And so the Lacey Act brings us basically under foreign laws, but then you were saying you have all this paperwork from the Indians saying everything you're doing is completely legal and they're happy with it.
Right. The Indian government is perfectly happy with the business. They have it endorsed in written form. We have certified documents that say that the exports of these fingerboards specifically is legal and condoned by the Indian government. And so it's our government's interpretation of Indian law, which is different than what the Indians themselves interpret the law, their own law, as.
Mr. Jeskiewicz, how much money have you lost because of this?
Well, it is well over $1 million, and it could be more as we tabulate the damage that we incurred last week.
Can you give us any idea, or is it too soon to say specifically legally what your lawyers are telling you that they believe the feds have done that's wrong so that you're able to sue them?
Yeah, we're debating that now, and there are several things that we can file on, and we're just debating which one is the best one to get what we need to get.
Now, the concerns I've seen in some of the newspapers point out that under the Lacey Act, and the federal government's on record, now. When you try to fly out of the country with a wooden guitar, they don't care how old it is. If you don't have the proof of where it came from, that they're confiscating them. Can you speak to that?
It's You know, it's quite ridiculous. The fact is what it, the law is that you have to know what every material component in the product is and where it came from. So, in other words, every single piece of wood, the bridge, the fingerboard, the body, you know, these are all different woods that have come from different sources. You, as a guitar owner, if you want to transport that guitar across borders, have to know exactly where each piece of wood came from and what species it is, which is frankly impossible for an average person to know. And on an old guitar, we don't even know that. I mean, we don't keep records going back, you know, decades. On the specifics.
Well, I was reading, because it's not just Gibson, it's all the wooden instruments, violins, cellos, you name it, that people like Willie Nelson, who I know personally, he won't take his prize wooden guitars out of the country. He won't take Trigger that he got over 60 years ago out of the country because reportedly they're grabbing most of the guitars people try to take into Canada or fly to Europe for a show. And now the feds are saying pianos, furniture, firearms stocks. I mean, this sounds like it's a giant power grab, and it looks like the U.S. is the only country in the world acting like this with a renewable resource like wood.
It is really unprecedented, and it's unfair. I just can't believe it's happening in this country.
In closing, how can we support a American icon company like Gibson? I mean, how do we keep you here in the U.S.? Because doing my own investigation, if you're based overseas, you seem to get left alone. And our government just bends over backwards. Even Congressman Kucinich said 2 days ago on CNN that the head of the President's Economic Council, the former head of GE, is great at creating jobs overseas, that a lot of the stimulus money and bailout money is going to move General Electric's X-ray division to China, to move General Motors' factories to China. What's going on here?
Well, you know, in the government itself, in a brief, specifically said in our court case that we should move to Madagascar and make guitars.
Excuse me? Hold the presses, sir. CEO of Gibson since 1986, you're telling me, and I know you've got these press release on Gibson, but I would love to see a copy of this. I believe you, that they specifically said, leave America.
That we would be better off manufacturing guitars in Madagascar.
Wow. And they told you that via a court brief?
Yes.
I haven't seen this in the press yet. This is bombshell. You've got to get a press release out, or perhaps you already have.
We're working on it, and we'll have the actual document.
Wow. Gibson Guitar told basically leave America. Well, incredible. Gibson.com is the website. I know personally my wife plays guitar and piano, and we've only got a few guitars, but I'm going to get a Gibson guitar. I'm going to get one of the wood ones because no doubt when they try to suppress something, it's going to go up in value, and we need to really get behind your company and other American-made companies. I've always tried to promote that. In closing, the guys just brought this in because we did a report earlier. They were down at the Gibson showroom here in Austin, Texas earlier, and the manager said, well, I'm not going to send you with one of our guitars, but I'll send you my personal one. And I got a bunch of musicians in the crew. I'm ignorant, and I don't know via the video connection if you can see this, sir, but this is just a gorgeous Made in America guitar, Les Paul model. I mean, what goes into this craftsmanship? And is it the fingerboard up here that supposedly is the foreign wood that they're so upset about?
That is right, yes. The darker wood under the strings.
And they want this Les Paul to be made in Madagascar. I mean, can't the U.S. have any industry? These people are traitors. A foreign army couldn't do this to us, sir.
Well, no comment, but...
Wow.
We have a, yeah.
Now, I know that these American-made, handcrafted babies. You know, sometimes I've read you guys are even sold out of these. But do you have any Les Pauls on hand in case I want to get my wife one?
Well, we do, but you know, I believe they will be in short supply. We have, you know, tremendous disruption in production, and we have been canceling orders because, frankly, they grabbed our raw materials, and we're trying to make up for it, but there will be a shortage, at least for a month or so.
Because they confiscated your wood?
Yes.
And so that's what's caused the disruption. Even in less than a week, it's cost you $1 million. Where will you be in 2 or 3 weeks?
Hard to say. You know, I don't know at this point.
Well, Henry, we appreciate you joining us, the CEO of Gibson. I just hope that they don't go after all the wood in this country. Sir, the American people are with you. Thank you so much for spending time with us.
Thank you very much again for having me, and everyone have a great day.
Thank you so much, sir. All right, there goes the CEO of Gibson, one of the few companies still producing handcrafted quality here in the United States, and if the Justice Department and others have their way, that won't be happening in the very near future unless we stop them.
You don't need me to tell you that humanity is in a deep crisis. Everyone can feel it. We know a tectonic struggle is now taking place between the forces of freedom and those who love darkness, bondage, and enslavement. Yes, my friends, evil is rising. But take heart, for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Recently, New World Order operative Hillary Clinton admitted they're losing the info war.
We are in an information war, and we are losing that war.
The globalists are scared. They've overreached. The future of the info war is in your hands. Join PrisonPlanet.tv. Download the thousands of special video reports, ebooks, and more, and get them out to everyone you know. Continue to spread the word about the broadcast on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and every other globalist propaganda platform. We are going to use their system against them. The info war now goes into high gear.
Well, in the words of Bill O'Reilly, F it, let's do it live. Well, this is real television. This is real information, real analysis. I couldn't do it without my team. I couldn't do it without you, the PrisonPlanet.tv subscribers, the folks that are out there spreading the word about InfoWarsNews.com. We're going to be here 5 days a week on top of 3 hours of radio, on top of the Sunday show, on top of the films, on top of everything we're doing to defend liberty because we're passionate about it. And I know you're passionate. We couldn't have done this without you. So to all of the PrisonPlanet.tv subscribers and all the info warriors out there that have supported us in the last 16 years, from the bottom of my heart, thank you. This is just another example of what free humanity can do when we stand together for liberty against tyranny. I'll see you back tomorrow night, Friday night, 7 o'clock Central, for the second edition of InfoWars Nightly News.